Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to On The Record. This is, of course, the scintillating podcast series produced by The Two Mics and Audio Boom.
Yes.
For our very many and growing followers.
Yes.
On The Two Mics On The Record account, of
it certainly
course.
Is, yeah.
He's Porky Parry. I'm Mike Graham.
I am.
Now, what we haven't done for a while, Porky, is the Porky Review of Books.
Well, we've got to do a Porky Review of Books.
Because I think it's time has come for us to hear about what you've been reading.
Yeah,
over
definitely.
Over the most recent days.
Definitely.
Now, what have you got for us?
Well, I've got this fantastic book. Now, you know that, of course, we have certain values in life.
Yeah.
And we believe that moderation in moderation is a good thing.
Very true.
We also believe, don't we, Mike, although we don't have an expression for it, but legoverism in moderation is okay.
I think very much so.
Yes,
I mean, a lot of people were very interested to hear your confession the last time we were here in this studio in Victoria about how you'd never had a vertical refreshment.
That's right.
And you confessed that you'd never had sex standing up.
That's right.
Some people were quite astonished
by
that.
Well, they were. I have reviewed that, actually, in my mind about it.
I seem to remember you talking about an incident on the stairs, which must have involved you standing.
Well, now, I tell you why I've reviewed it. And remember, this is a family show.
It is.
And so I don't get into it. But when I was talking initially about not indulging in the sexual practice of intercourse standing up, I was thinking about the night manager and talking about face-to-face.
Oh, I see.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I will admit, that there may have been, and this is a family show, so I'm going to skirt over this.
Okay, yeah, please, skirt be over as vague as you can.
There has been some standing up sexual activity from the Fromby position.
She's suggesting that the other person may not have been standing.
No, they will have been standing, but not face to face. And they may have been standing, but bending over, if you see what I mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there
I
could
do.
Have been some of that. But I don't want to get into that, because that gives terrible images. Sorry?
They weren't on all fours or anything.
Oh, no, for goodness sake. For goodness sake, man, don't get into that. But I don't want any images like that. I'm
all
just
right.
saying that, you know, people thought that, you know, I couldn't have gone through my life, you know, I'm entering early middle age without standing up activity.
Yeah.
And I reflected and thought, well, it was, but it wasn't like the night manager.
No, of course.
You know what I mean?
Well, I'm very glad to hear it.
I tell you where else
anyone wants that particular image in their mind.
I tell you where else that happened, by the way. Do you remember, was it Godfather 1 or 2?
Yeah.
When one of the members...
You're talking about James Caan, aren't you?
Yes, that's right. Having standing up sex against the back of a door
that's
and
right.
somebody couldn't get in.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
That's right. Tom Hagen had gone up to try and get Sonny to come to meet his father.
Oh, really?
It was in Godfather 1.
Oh, Godfather 1, there we go.
It was at the wedding, of course, of the Godfather's daughter.
That's right, yeah.
Where Luca Brasi came and was practising his, you know...
Yes.
Godfather, I wish you many happinesses.
I want to kiss your ring.
Yeah,
yes.
I wish you many happinesses and may your first grandchild be a man.
Mm.
And all this, very funny.
Yeah.
yeah, but one of the bridesmaids was getting rogerised by...
That's right, James Caan.
...by Sonny, James Caan, who turned out to be really actually very friendly with real mobsters. Do you remember once James Caan actually went into a mafia courtroom down in the eastern district of New York, or the southern district rather?
Yeah,
some guy who was being prosecuted by Rudy Giuliani,
right?
And James Caan appeared as a character witness on behalf of this real gangster,
really?
Yeah, because he got because the gangsters loved him so much in the movie, especially the fact that he got gunned down. In the
I was going to say, a few minutes after the standing up sex against the back of the door, Didn't he then try to exit the family estate? And when they got to the gate, wasn't he ambushed? And
No, that's much later on.
Oh, is it?
That's much later on. What he does in the wedding scene is he comes out and he sees that there's all these guys taking pictures.
Right.
And some of them are newspaper photographers, others are from the FBI.
Right.
And the guy shows him he's from the FBI. Yeah. And he spits on the ground.
Yeah.
And then he throws his camera down and then chucks a couple of $100 bills at him to go, you know, you pay for your camera, that's but you don't take pictures of me, you fucker.
Yeah.
Great film. But no, James Caan, absolutely, you're quite right. Well remembered.
That's right.
He does involve himself in Vertigo.
Exactly.
Rather Night Manager-esque.
Yes, yes.
Rogerization.
Of course, the girl in Night Manager-esque, Night Manager,
it's
was...
very tall, isn't she?
6 foot 2.
Yeah.
Dableke was her name?
What was her name?
Was her name? Dableke. I think her surname was Dableke, something like that. Yeah, yeah, something like that.
You sure?
Yeah. Very tall girl.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's by the by. Now the reason...
Anyway, we should probably move away from that.
Well, yeah, because we're getting on to the book review, okay? Yeah.
So what's the book review about?
The book review is a fantastic new book, and it's called Sex Scandals in American Politics.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Mm. And it's written by a lady called Alison Darnays.
Okay.
A political science professor at Shippensburg University.
Shippensburg,
yeah.
Never heard of it. Where's that?
I'm not sure, actually.
Is that
one of those
cut price places?
Well, it might be. But anyway, some great lines in her book. But the biggest line is that Lyndon Baines Johnson, LBJ as we know him, who was probably, I would say, one of the ugliest men on earth when he was president of the United States of America, claims that he had rogerization with a lot more women than John F. Kennedy.
LBJ.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Lyndon Baines Johnson.
I always remember the shout that went up from the Vietnam War protesters.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, LBJ. How many kids have you killed today?
Yeah, but there was another one by his supporters, and it was, hey, LBJ, all the way with LBJ.
Yeah, well, I guess the other one was a piss take of that, right?
Yeah, but all the way with LBJ was apparently a scream from one of his mistresses when they were involved in fornication, right? And she would scream, all the way, LBJ. And he took that as his political mantra.
That's unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very unusual. But
they could have had that one for JFK as well. It would have made the same sound.
Well, they could. They could, but LBJ had already got it. Now, the point is that until
didn't become president until JFK was shot, right?
He became president on the aeroplane, bringing JFK's body back to Washington, D.C., from Dallas, where he was shot. And if you remember the very famous picture, he was sworn in by the first officer of the court, who had to be flown down to Florida to get on the plane, and a blood-spattered Jackie Kennedy was, you know, the nearest relative to the dead assassinated president. She had to be in on the initiation ceremony.
Covered in blood.
Yeah, covered in blood. Yeah. She hadn't even had time to wash the blood off her face.
I think she said subsequently that she didn't want to. She was happy.
I think she did.
She could have easily changed into a different outfit.
That's right.
She could have easily wiped
the blood
away.
But she wanted
the
world to know, my husband has been blown away. That's right, yeah. But anyway, what happened is this...
So you're saying LBJ was a rogerizer before he became president, or after?
Oh, absolutely. Bigger shagger than JFK.
Really?
But he was also... But he said that, you see, because he hated the Kennedys.
Right.
Because you've got to remember, he was Deep South, right? Mm. He was from Texas.
He was the old Southern Democrat, wasn't
Southern
he?
Democrat. Yeah. They were from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
They were prep boys.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, he once said that... So I'm the new president, and you guys saying I got tobacco stains in my shirt because I come south of the Mason-Dixon line. Mm. Was it Mason-Dixon?
Mason-Dixon.
The Mason-Dixon line, yeah. He said, I'm going to show you something, okay? When he was... Now, the reason he became president was because he was vice president, because the Kennedys, being all the preppy Northeast boys, did what you always do in politics, try and get a deputy, a vice president,
who can somebody else.
Bring in the other half of the country that don't like me, which is the Deep South.
Right.
But they regarded him as a thick fucking peasant from Dallas. From Texas.
Yeah,
from Texas, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And they spoke about him as being like the heifer lump and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And on one occasion, You know, some people in the world might, when they're deputies, they try to overcompensate their loyalty to their bosses by doing very stupid things.
We've seen it many
times.
Other deputies go the other way, of course, and try to undermine the boss.
Well, some do, if they're wise and good enough. But a former colleague of ours, Norman Luck, who we've spoken about many times.
We have indeed,
Norman's a man who used to pay an awful lot of attention to ladies' mammary glands in the office of the Daily
Express.
That's
very true, yeah.
Is that not true?
It wasn't just that, to be fair. He used to have a woman in California that used to ring up in the afternoon after everyone had been to the pub, put her on the speakerphone, and he would basically have phone sex with her, even though she didn't realise that everybody else was listening.
It's an
extraordinary state of affairs.
He also, Norman was quite wise.
Yeah.
He married a former British Airways air hostess, who he had to marry because he had indulged in sexual relations with her after a flight back home from a job.
Oh, yeah.
And her father turned up on the doorstep and said, as a result of this, you will have to marry my daughter.
She was pregnant, you mean?
Well, I don't even know if it's that. I think he'd taken her virtue, you see, for first time. Yeah, yeah.
Ooh,
yeah, quite seriously.
Well, he found a virgin stewardess that didn't work for Virgin.
I think so. But that was in the British European Airways days. But anyway, the point of the story is...
Yeah.
Is it Norman Murray? They didn't have children.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know why they didn't have children, but that meant that Norman was earning, you know, reasonable money. And he was quite a good entrepreneur, Norman.
Yeah.
And because he did a DIY column at his own suggestion...
He got a lot of freebies there, didn't he?
Well, he got things like bathrooms fitted in his house so he could write a review of it.
Yeah.
He got things like new garage rolling doors fitted in his house.
Isn't the famous story about him that he was, in fact, in Beirut or something?
The plug, the three-point plug.
Covering the wall.
How to rewire a three-point plug.
I was going to say, was it the three-point plug or was it one of the garage doors that he rang in?
No, it was the three-point plug.
After much deliberation and having waiting a queue to get onto the phone to call the story in.
Absolutely.
And when they said to him, oh, great, Norman, you're in Beirut. Norman Luck from Beirut.
Yeah.
What's the slug line, i.e. what's the name of the story?
That's right.
And he said... DIY plugs.
That's right, yeah.
He dictated his story for the column.
There were two guys
DIY
from American newspapers waiting behind him.
Before he did that bloody war report.
Wanted to report a new attack by the F-111s on the Golan Heights or something like that. And Norman was, you know, painstakingly, as you do with copy takers, going through point, par, new paragraph. Yeah. And the copy taker then in London is saying, there's much more of this. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But anyway, point of the story is, Norman was quite entrepreneurial, and he opened a couple of old people's homes, as we called them in those days.
More than a couple, I think.
Yeah, I think it's more than a couple. But he would only employ what you might call matrons.
Right.
You know, they had to have quite a lot of people. But the matrons had to... They were only employed if they enjoyed a bit of horizontal refreshment with Norman.
Really?
Without a shadow of a doubt.
That's a shocking thing to say.
It is. Well, it's true.
Is it?
It's true. And actually, funny enough, I remember there was...
His life was in many ways like a sort of Benny Hill show.
Yes, it?
It
was. Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah. And I remember one express do we went to, somebody's leaving party or something like that, and his lovely wife, you know, who was completely unaware of the fact that, you know... When Norman told her two or three times a month he was out of town on the story, he was actually shagging some lady of, you know, low virtue or something like that, including a nun once, if you remember. Do you remember?
Yes, that's right.
And I remember at this leaving party...
That wasn't the famous nun, though, was it?
It was the nun whose picture he saw on the wall.
No, it wasn't her.
The one who...
The one, the skiing naked nuns.
No, I would have skied naked down Everest with a rose up my nose for Prince Andrew, wasn't it, or something?
Something like that.
Anyway, point of the story is... I remember that that evening, she was standing there with a half a glass of champagne in her hand, which used to last her all night. This is Mrs. Locke.
Yeah.
And during the course of the conversation, somebody said that, you won't believe it, but, you know, another reporter, her marriage has broken up, you know. And she said, oh, why? And they said, unfortunately he was on a job in Portugal or something. His wife found out, you know, he'd been messing around with a waitress in Portugal. Mm. And she looked dreamily into the air and said, oh, goodness, she said, if I ever thought my Norman would get involved in anything like that, I think I'd throw myself off the cliffs at Dover. And she was completely genuine. Yeah. She had no idea. No idea whatsoever.
How could she not have known?
Well, I don't know. It was like old Stan Mays in New York when his wife rang the office one morning and said, I haven't seen Stan. Well, why don't you ring Costello's and find out if he fell asleep in there last night? She said, sorry, what's Costello's?
Stan went every day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where Stan spent like 6 hours every day on... He used to say, he was working, wasn't I? I go into Costello's with Ralph Champion. Ralph Champion was the bureau chief of the Mirror.
Is he
staff? He says, we discuss policies and get things worked out. And when Stan was eventually diagnosed of liver cancer, he blamed that wanker from Ralph Champion, you know, for making me meet him every day for 40 years drinking whiskey.
Ivor Key telling the story of Harry Miller, you know, the old pisshead from the Telegraph. And he had some kind of birthday party or anniversary or something.
Yeah.
But they rented a boat, so it's quite a big, lavish affair. He goes on the boat, gets introduced to Mrs. Miller, who immediately slaps him around the face and says, you're the fucking reason my marriage really broke up.
That's right,
because Harry Miller was constantly on the piss.
I don't think
he was even shagging anyone, but he would always tell his wife that he'd ended up staying with Ivor Key.
That's right,
She assumed Ivor had been leading him astray all these years. And in fact, Ivor had no idea, because he'd quite often found asleep on a bench.
Harry wasn't even a shagger.
No, he wasn't. But he'd go to sleep in Penn Station because he'd missed the last train home.
Absolutely right. And by the way, he loved the last train home because the bar car was his favourite.
Because he lived somewhere out in Long Island.
He lived out in Long Island, but the bar cars were better in America than they were here. Yeah. And Harry used to love spending 45 minutes. He told me my favourite part of the day is getting into the old bar car with a few old colleagues and having a few. And I said, I assumed that he left work at 6 o'clock, got on the bar car at 6:30. I said, and what time do you get in the bar car, Harry? He says, oh, get the last one at 10:30. So he spent 4 hours in Costello's.
He's been in the pub for 4 hours.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
So what else is in this?
Right, well, let's get back to the book.
Book of Scandal. Then.
Let's get back to the book, okay? Now, the point that Miss Darnay's makes is that everybody knew that all presidents were big shaggers.
Right.
But in those days, nobody wrote about it because there was there's this bond between the gentlemen of the press and presidents.
Well, who was that guy that had a book published just recently in which he didn't talk about, apparently, I think it was Nixon, who had had some kind of episode of domestic violence. He'd beaten his wife up or something
like
that.
Something like
and
that.
This guy, who was a doyen of the sort of White House correspondence dinner, didn't bother fucking writing about it because he thought that would bring the president into disrepute.
I've got the book here. Let me read you a bit about it, you know. Reading about president sex lives is still a pretty new phenomenon. Americans first experienced it in the 1990s with the cover of Bill Clinton's affair with White House intern Monica Lewinsky, and the impeachment sort of became huge. Until Bill Clinton, there had not been coverage of any infidelity on the part of a sitting president. Before then, journalists didn't report on presidential affairs because they didn't consider them newsworthy. Mm. Even if a president's affairs were well known to his friends, staffers and journalists, author Darnay's would say, and that's me saying that, I'm saying that because I'm reading from a book, she'd say, the public didn't learn about it until after the president was out of office, and most of the time after the president was dead. Nan Britton was a woman who had an affair with President Warren G. Harding, okay?
Right.
It was called The President's Daughter. Warren Harding had a secret daughter with a prostitute in Washington who was conceived in a coat closet.
Well, when was this?
Following the death of Warren G. Harding, a president who only served 2 years in office before he died of a heart attack,
surprisingly.
And nobody knows what he was doing at the time. Yeah. In 1923,
blimey.
His mistress, Nan Britton, told all in a pamphlet which no newspaper at the time would deign to publish.
That is astonishing.
Yeah. The public learned of the president's supposed predilection for having sex in a White House coat closet,
blimey,
where he regularly took women for sex that sometimes didn't last 5 minutes.
Right.
That was in 1923.
This is sort of Boris Becker's
1923, by the way, was the year that Wembley opened. You
was
know
it?
What I mean? That's how far.
Right.
That's how. Yeah.
Well, it
right.
was also the midst of the Depression, wasn't it?
Say again?
He wasn't suffering from the Depression, was he?
No,
clearly.
Depression's height was 1929. It
yeah,
was building up from 26.
Yeah, but it was building up from kind of the beginning of the 20s.
Well, it
was
drifting over from Germany, actually, ever since the end of the Second World War. So you're absolutely right there.
Right. What about Gary Hart, though? Because Gary Hart, who was running for president, had his
monkey
sex life.
Monkey business.
Had his boat. Has his sex life kind of raked over the coals.
Yeah.
But he was.
Yeah.
He never became president. So I wonder if they write about politicians' sex lives. But even then, that was the Inquirer, wasn't it, that broke that story?
That's right,
And it was only later picked up because it had become a public matter of concern.
Funny you should say that. On this book where she says that, you know, the press was so frightened of writing about president's sex lives, they never wrote about JFK's. I remember absolutely... surely, because it was in the 80s and I was there. Gary Hart, Pence was his real name, but he shortened it to Gary Hart to make it more zingy as a politician. Gary Hart Pence was challenged by the editor of a local newspaper in Florida who said, Mr. Hart Pence, you know, I believe I have the right to, you know, and he said, well, you think I'm misbehaving in my life
Follow
and my marriage,
around.
Yeah? He did. And guess what the editor did for the first time in American history?
Yeah.
They did what we've been doing in this country for 60, 70 years.
Went and doorstepped him.
Put a tail. They did follow him around, took the pictures, and Donna, somebody, was his mistress.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
I tell you, the other guy, John Edwards, was one more recently, because I wonder, because you're right about this whole idea that the presidents themselves don't really get written about.
No, they don't.
Their personal lives don't come out. I mean, Clinton was a bit of an exception. But, I mean, remember that guy, John Edwards? This is a guy who was running, I think, a couple of presidencies ago on the Democratic ticket.
John Edwards.
And he was the guy, I think he was the governor of somewhere like North Carolina or South Carolina.
Okay.
And his wife had cancer.
Right.
And he commissioned this woman to come and make a documentary about him.
About his wife.
While he was, not about just about his wife, but about his campaign.
I see,
And she was also filming, you know, stuff to be used on the campaign, advertising and all that. And of course, he ended up shagging her, which is one of the worst, lowest of the low tricks you've ever seen.
Shocking.
His poor
wife's dying of cancer.
Is lying at home dying of cancer.
Absolutely.
And he's
shocking.
Shagging this woman. And he denied it for years or for months. And then finally they got him.
Yeah, they got him, Anyway, so run through this book, because I've read this book over the weekend, so I've made marks on it. Right.
Yes.
Now, like Harding, I've just told you about, the man who shags in a clothes
closet.
Franklin D. Roosevelt had a long-time mistress, one of many, that the public didn't know about until after his death. FDR started his affair with Lucy Mercer, who was his wife, Eleanor Roosevelt's social secretary.
No, really?
Right? It's all going on inside the White House. It was a shagaroony place, the White House, okay? Yeah? Yeah?
Well, power does beget that sort of thing.
Yeah. More than a decade before he became president, but then carried it on inside the White House and actually encouraged his wife to make his mistress her social secretary.
Oh, yeah.
When Eleanor discovered some of their love letters in September 1918, she confronted her husband about them. The couple considered a divorce, but stayed together in order to protect their social standing and FDR's career. Even though the episode had deeply hurt Eleanor, she then went on to have an affair with a woman.
Really?
Yeah.
Was his the presidency that ended up with him in a wheelchair that they kept trying
To hide?
But they had to try and hide the fact that he was in a wheelchair.
What they did is they kept raising the desk higher and higher in the Oval Office, seriously. They kept putting books underneath it so that eventually you could only see halfway down his chest. They didn't want people to know he was in a wheelchair.
Right.
The reason they changed the term of presidency to 8 years was because FDR, Franklin D, was heading for a 16-year reign.
Right.
And he died in the first year of his fourth reign, so he did 13.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I was going to mention to you that I had a lawyer once by the name of Marsha Maddox, and I'm pretty sure was the White House press secretary to FDR.
Oh, yeah?
During the reign of Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Right.
I was just looking her up to check.
Okay.
She represented me in my lawsuit, in my divorce.
Really?
Over in America. Because, you know, I had to hire a lawyer in Virginia.
Well, of course,
because of what my ex-wife did.
Why? Did she move to Virginia?
Well, she moved to Virginia with the kids, but she basically...
West Virginia!
It wasn't West Virginia. Virginia.
That was the song sung by...
Yeah, she was assistant press secretary to Mrs. Lyndon B. Johnson at the White House for 5 years.
Good God.
So she would have known about all that.
Fantastic.
All those shenanigans. But I've just learned, and I'm sorry to say this, that she's died.
Yeah, she's died.
She's died.
Oh, dear.
How sad.
It is sad.
She was a lovely woman.
Anyway, lawyer. I'll move on to the next chapter,
yeah,
right?
We've
still got time for this,
yeah,
right? Now, so this is LBJ.
Yeah.
All the way with LBJ.
Yeah.
By coming to a mutually respectful arrangement, the Roosevelts were an anomaly among president couples. Lyndon B. Johnson, on the other hand, seemed crudely unconcerned with his long-time affair with Alice Glass.
Oh, yeah.
His mistress, who he took to the White House.
Glass was half full.
Glass was half full or half empty. In fact, he couldn't care less what his wife, Lady Bird Johnson, ever thought about it.
Really?
And made that clear.
Wow.
He said, I'm the president. What are you going to do about it? LBJ maintained his on and off relationship, that's how it was described, with Glass between 1939 and the early years of his presidency. Crikey, that's 25 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was doubly risky for him because she was also romantically involved with one of his big donors. She eventually broke up with him because of her opposition to the Vietnam War, which LBJ actually intensified. It seems pretty clear that Lady Bird knew about Glass and the other women he slept with. When Lady Bird died in 2007, The Guardian in England noted Lyndon Johnson was so casual in his affairs with Alice Glass and his congressional colleague, Helen Garhane Douglas, another mistress of his inside the White House, that Lady Bird was openly humiliated.
Mm.
This isn't surprising, considering LBJ was known... I'm sorry, this is a family show.
It is.
Every time LBJ was challenged or criticised by his officials and his aides, he would expose his genitals. Right.
Why?
Well, because
he'd
take his trousers and underpants out, expose his genitals, and say, this has had more sex with women than John F. Kennedy. Give me a break and fuck off.
It's not very presidential.
No, it's not, is it?
Is it? Yeah. No wonder he never won again after he was appointed president. Because he didn't get re-elected, did he?
No, he withdrew. He withdrew. He did half a term filling in for Kennedy.
Yeah, right.
Then he did a full term after he got voted president. But he announced a year before...
Oh, so he did
the
win.
End of the, yeah,
so
he did
actually win,
he won on the sympathy vote from John F. Kennedy because of the Democrats.
Right.
But then he knew he wasn't going to win the next one.
And he lost to Nixon then, presumably.
68. He stood down. He didn't fight against Nixon. It was...
But it would have been 68, wouldn't it?
It was 68 when Nixon got in. You're absolutely right.
72 was Nixon and Watergate.
72 was Nixon and Watergate. You're absolutely right, And so when he said, I'm not contesting it, was it Barry Goldwater who was the Democrat candidate?
Have been.
Yeah,
because by that time, Robert Kennedy had been assassinated.
Robert Kennedy had been assassinated.
As well.
Right. Robert Kennedy assassinated in 65.
Yeah.
JFK 63, yeah. Robert Kennedy 65, yeah. But anyway, nice to know, isn't it, that the American president, you know, were the paramour of virtues, you know?
Right, well, obviously not.
Yeah.
Do you
know,
I was once working somewhere in the... I can't remember exactly where it was, but it was somewhere kind of inconsequential, like Des Moines, Iowa, or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
And I was in a hotel, staying in a hotel, and I ended up back at the bar of the hotel after having been out or something. And I think I was working on my own, or if I had a photographer, he wasn't with me.
Yes.
And ended up walking into the bar, and there was this quite attractive woman of a certain age, probably late 30s, maybe 40, behind the bar.
Yes.
And I was quite a lot younger then, in those days, so I was younger than her.
Yes.
Anyway, we got talking, and she was quite attractive, and blah, blah, blah. Turns out that she was the subject of some massive Washington sex scandal.
Right.
Because she
Where was this again? Des Moines?
It was somewhere like Des Moines, Iowa. Yeah. She'd moved there to get away from Washington.
Yeah, I see,
She'd got involved with a senator.
Yeah.
And it had been splashed all over the paper.
I see,
and then she told me this whole story was amazing because I hadn't heard of it. I later looked her up and found out she was telling me the truth.
Yes.
Because she ended up, she was one of these women that got somehow caught up with the senator.
Yeah.
And I think she might have been a hooker at some point or other.
Yes.
But she was then approached by Playboy. She then did the whole spread for Playboy.
Right.
You know, and then she decided that she'd had enough of the limelight.
Yes.
And she moved and she was now working in this godforsaken hotel.
Yeah.
In this godforsaken town in the middle of nowhere.
Wow.
So which I thought was amazing. Because only really in America could he do that.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. I think a lot of the time... women who have powerful husbands just keep quiet because they are associated to the power.
It's a bit like footballers' wives, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not being detrimental to women or anything like that. The point is, if you've got three kids, right, and you live in a big house and you decide, I'm going to kick your husband out because I found out he's been infidelious, well, you've got a hard life in front of you. So if you just bite your lip and say, right, I'll wait till the kids
turn
are grown
a blind
up,
eye.
Or something like that. But, no, getting back
although
to...
Although some people say that about Hillary Clinton, that that's what she was going to do until such time as she could be potentially independently political, if you like.
Well,
but that's never worked out for her. So she still hangs around with Bill Clinton, a man who, even by my standards, has been pretty fucking low.
Well, I was going to get on to the Clintons, actually, just to finish this programme. And I've got two great stories, I think, right?
Yeah.
First of all, when I was in Washington in the 91-92 and went on the Bill Clinton trail, first place I went was Little Rock.
Yeah.
Little Rock is a godforsaken place. There are only two hotels there. There was the Capitol, and there was a new modern one, which I can't even remember. But the Capitol was where everybody who was a power broker went. And so I went and stayed there, right? And I went to the restaurant on the first night I was there. And it was very, very deep south old-fashioned, all that kind of stuff, you know. And I just sat there, and obviously with an English voice, as you will well know, you're the deep south, and people are interested. And the waitress who was serving me, because I was kind of eating alone, a steak, you know, and all
table
that.
Table for one.
Hey?
Table for one.
Table for one, without a shadow of a doubt. But I'd made an arrangement the next day to see George Stephanopoulos.
Oh, yeah.
And George Stephanopoulos was Clinton's, like, secret aide.
He's a sort of PR guru.
Yeah, well,
PR
guru, everything. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And he was quite interested in why I was in town, because although they couldn't give a monkey's about what English newspapers wrote, because there are no votes in England, they didn't want an English newspaper to write something that an American newspaper might pick up. You see what I mean?
Right.
And Jennifer Flowers was the mistress and all that kind of stuff, you know. So
well, she was one of many.
Oh, one of many. But, I mean, Bill Clinton used to tell Hillary that he was going jogging from the governor's mansion.
Mm.
Lovely house, by the way, the governor's mansion. Yeah. I went in there, you know, in there. And all he did was he jogged about 200 yards, and then one of the boys, as he called them, which was not even one of his aides, it was the local army. What's it called?
The National Guard.
National Guard.
Yeah.
Yeah, a member of the National Guard was always waiting around the corner, picked him up, took him to Jennifer Flowers' house, where he had a load of shagaroonie with Jennifer Flowers every morning.
Jogging.
And she had enormous breasts.
Did she?
Yes, and Bill Clinton said how much he loved them all the time, all that kind of stuff, you know. And then he'd get back in the National Guard car, and he'd drive him 200 yards back, and then and they used to spray water on his on his forehead to make it look like he was perspiring from all the running, you know what I mean? But he didn't do any running, he just did a load of shagging.
Right.
But anyway, point of the story is, I said, do you have much to do with the... he was still the governor of... he was governor, wasn't he, Arkansas?
He was,
that's right, yeah.
Governor.
And before that, by the way, he was the... What's the word for the chancellor to the governor in the state?
Attorney General.
Attorney General, that's absolutely right.
Well, because
he
had a law degree, didn't he?
Had a law degree, he was Attorney General. But he became governor. So I said to this lady, I said, and do you have many dealings? She said, all the time, all the time. I said, oh, he's in here all the time. I said, okay. And how do you find him? She said, I don't know, we never get to talk to him. She said, but we hate the people he brings with him. I said, why? She said, well, they're called the boys. And they're National Guard during the day, because National Guard are part-timers.
Yeah.
They're like the...
They're like Territorial Army.
Territorial Army.
Yeah.
But in the evenings, they were his private army in civilian clothes. And she said, we've all been sexually assaulted by those guys. When we come to the table and we're leaning over, serving the meal, you can always feel a hand going up the inside of your thigh.
That's shocking, isn't
it? I said, you're having me on, aren't you? She said, no, sir. I can tell you that on the nights when we know the governor is coming in with his boys, we all try to get out of it.
Mm.
She said, it is so shocking. And I said, don't you... She said, how can you complain to your boss here in Little Rock about the governor?
Right.
If you do, you're dead.
Right.
And it happened all the time. Mm. She said it was... Everybody knew about it. It was constant, right?
Yeah.
But the last thing I was going to tell
you... this is why people are astonished that Hillary Clinton, a woman who supposedly stands up for feminist rights...
That's right.
...who stands up for other women...
Yeah.
...the fact that she allows him to never, ever...
Do you think I just sit there and sing Blanket on the Ground?
Yeah. Or stay home and bake cookies?
That's right, yeah.
But the point is that she should have left the guy. She should have absolutely thrown him to the wolves and said, this guy's a disgusting individual.
That's right.
Ghastly human being.
Absolutely.
Thinks it's okay to molest women without being fucking arsed.
Absolutely.
Absolutely shocking state of affairs.
Books have been written about Clinton, which I've read, which allege that he has forced himself upon women and could have faced much more serious charges than just impeachment.
Yeah.
The last thing I was going to tell you was, you may have picked this up in the last couple of days, but I have high source, you know, US political contacts.
This is not the thong story, is it?
No. Hillary thinking of running against Trump at the next election?
Well, she's got no chance. She might as well forget about it.
She is thinking about
it. Well, she may well think about it, but she didn't beat him the last time, and she won't beat him this time.
And she, well, she's been urged, right, to nominate herself.
Yeah.
And do you know what her banner would be?
What?
I told you so.
Really? Interesting.
I will admit that there may have been, and this is a family show, so I'm going to skirt over this.
Okay, yeah, please, skirt be over as vague as you can.
There has been some standing up sexual activity from the Frombie position.
She's suggesting that the other person may not have been standing.
No, they will have been standing, but not face to face. And they may have been standing, but bending over, if you see what I mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there could have been some of that, but I don't want to get into that because that gives terrible images. Sorry?
They weren't on all fours or anything.
Oh, no, for goodness sake. For goodness sake, man, don't get into that. But I don't want any images like that. I'm just saying that, you know, people thought that, you know, I couldn't have gone through my life, you know, I'm entering early middle age without standing up activity.
Yeah.
And I reflected and thought, well, it was, but it wasn't like the night manager.
No, of course.
I'm sorry, this is a family show.
It is.
Every time LBJ was challenged or criticised by his officials and his aides, he would expose his genitals. Right.
Why?
Well, because
he'd
take his trousers and underpants out, expose his genitals, and say, "This has had more sex with women than John F. Kennedy. Give me a break and fuck off."
It's not very presidential.
No, it's not, is it? She had enormous breasts.
Did she?
Yes, and Bill Clinton said how much he loved them all the time and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.